For whoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we teach people about the New Testament, people who have either never read the New Testament before or who are hoping to learn more, we oftentimes begin with something of a survey, in which it's quickly discovered that most of the books of the New Testament are written by St. Paul. St. Paul is indeed the one whom the prayer book and the prayer for the whole state of Christ Church refers to as the Holy Apostle. When the titles are piled up, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, etc., it does seem that he wrote most of the New Testament. But in truth, as we were reminded in our men's Bible study a couple weeks ago, St. Luke, as the author of both the gospel bearing his name and also the book of the Acts of the Apostles, has actually written more, 37,932 words, to be exact, compared to St. Paul's 32,408. Now, that's silly, but I only point this out because we hear today from both St. Paul and St. Luke, and we should be thankful that there is truly no competition here for length of material, but especially for meaning and message. In fact, the messages are perfectly complementary. St. Luke grants to us insight into the manner in which Jesus lived and taught amongst us, and St. Paul wrote to us with insight about how the Christian is then to live as a follower of Christ and a member of the body of Christ and his church. In the passage that we've heard today from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, the Holy Apostle begins his statement with the phrase, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Now, the following is a tired statement, and if you've been to Bible studies, then I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but I will awaken it one more time. And that is, whenever a passage begins with therefore, you should ask what the therefore is there for. Indeed, the classic and standard format of St. Paul's letters usually has a big therefore, because the letters take a shape something like this. After a greeting of those to whom the letter is addressed, St. Paul most often spends a chapter or two or three expounding upon the truth of the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ was crucified for us, that his blood atones for our sin, that we are forgiven and justified in Christ, that we have been invited to participate in his own divine eternal life so that he dwells in us and we in him, that the grace of God incorporates our lives into his and his into ours, that death has no more sting, that sin has no more dominion over us, that the victory over sin and death and hell has been won, and we have been called up higher to join him at the banquet of those who have won the victory in Christ. And the second half of the letter oftentimes begins with something like the word therefore. In a sentence like this, "Since these things are true, therefore I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." And in the Epistle to the Ephesians, St. Paul takes the great truths of the gospel, and especially as they relate to the nature of our life together in Christ, in the church, and spells it out, therefore, what our behavior is to look like. Now, standing back to see the larger picture, St. Paul points out that in the church, just as in the family, there are a diversity of callings. The church is filled with a variety of people, always, now, and ever has been. A variety of God's people with skills and talents in many differing areas. And though it's possible to use those various callings to lord over one another or to create divisions, this is not what Christians are to do. The picture that develops of the life of the Christian in the life of the church, regardless of the various calling, looks a lot more like the life of Christ. St. Paul says, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now that sounds like Christ. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Does that sound like you? If you think it sounds like you, would others say that that sounds like you? You do have a vocation. Can it be said that you pursue that vocation with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Vestry members, altar guild members, coffee hour volunteers, Bible study teachers and attendees, choir members, acolytes, clergy, lectors, children, everyone. Can it be said that you pursue your vocation with lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? If so, hallelujah. If not, St. Paul does not speak in vain about reality to those who treat the church like a tug-of-war match that they're intending to win. There's a word here for the Ephesians that's just as much a word for us today. And think, St. Paul does not say there should be one body and one Spirit. He says there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. He does not say that there should be, ideally, one Lord and one faith. He says there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Because the reality is that we are members one of another, as in reality we are united in Christ. Our chief opportunity to understand God, to experience life in Christ more fully, to experience him truly, will come through his church, even a local church like this. As we submit ourselves one to another, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to behave otherwise is to be off course, living and behaving in an unreality. We are united with each other because we are united to Christ, the same Jesus, who, according to St. Luke, carefully watched the behavior of those who were bidden along with him to a dinner at the house of a chief Pharisee. He watched how they chose the chief seats for themselves, placing their own preferences and priorities first. We are saved through Christ. We are justified in Christ. We are brothers and sisters together in the body of Christ forever. We as the church are the very bride of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, the same Christ who saw this behavior and began instruction on taking the lowest seat by saying, "When you are bidden of any man to a wedding." Now, if we've just read St. Paul's full letter to the Ephesians, we will recall that St. Paul said we should submit ourselves one to another. In Romans, he says we should prefer one another to our own selves. But Paul goes on to say that in a marriage, and gird yourselves here, the wife should submit herself to the husband, and the husband should love his wife like Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. Submit yourselves one to another. We learn that the marriage relationship is an image of the relationship between Christ and the church. And this should ring a bell when we hear Jesus say again, "When you are bidden to a wedding." Sigh. Yes, Jesus, when I am bidden to a wedding, probably this wedding, right? Like the wedding of you and your church. Yes, when you are bidden of any man to a wedding, even this wedding, sit not down in the highest seat. Do not snap your fingers and ask for better and more attentive service. Do not sigh impatiently, glancing at your watch and eyeing the door as if to recall other feasts that were better and greater than this one, at which you could swear you sat in an even higher seat than this. We, the church, the bride, are united to Christ, who said to us, when thou art bidden, and you are bidden, go and sit down in the lowest place. The words of Christ, about whom St. Paul wrote in Heavenly Realities, come to us through St. Luke, answering for us the question, how should we then live? And the answer is the same in Christ as it is in St. Paul. When you are bidden to a banquet, a wedding, a union, a church, submit yourselves one to another, giving thanks to God. When you are bidden, answer the invitation, come to the feast, but take the lowest seat and behave like Christ, who, the groom, was emptied of himself and suffered for us even the death of the cross for the sake of his church before he was raised again to the right hand of the Father. The message of the Bible, the message of God to us today is this: take the lowest seat, so that the word of the Master will one day be whispered in your ear also, friend. And if that isn't enough, come up higher. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.